Hello, I'm John Pellow, CEO of the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Welcome to another podcast from my blog, Christian Leadership Reflections, which can be found at ccc.org/john. Today's podcast is entitled Strategic Planning That Will Amaze Jesus. I sure would appreciate getting your perspective on the topic of the day. How much risk are you prepared to accept for your ministry based on faith that God will provide? Do you have big faith that God will provide and then you act? Or do you have big faith that God will provide when you act? I think there's a fine line between having the faith to trust God and being presumptuous and testing God. The practical issue is how much we factor God into our strategic plans. In a sermon I heard in Sunday school, Andy Stanley made the point that there is only one time in Scripture that it says Jesus was amazed, and it was the big faith of a Roman centurion of all people that amazed him. Matthew 8, verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel of such great faith." Stanley challenges us, asking, what would your life be like if you knew for sure there is a God who is all-powerful, who knows you and has promised never to leave you nor forsake you? What if you had perfect peace and no fears or anxiety about anything? What would we dare try for the sake of Christ? What might we do that would demonstrate a faith that could amaze Jesus? What would it look like if your ministry assumed no limitations that God couldn't easily overcome? What if we decided to trust God for the things that keep us from daring to do all that we can dream of? If we believed God could provide the if-onlys that we are wishing for? Better yet, what if we prayed for them? What if the exploits of our ministries demonstrated a faith that would amaze Jesus just like the centurions did? What if? What if our strategic plans required divine rather than human capacity? What if our plans were so big, so bold, so far-reaching that we'd have to assign responsibility for executing parts of them to the Lord? If we can complete the plan ourselves, I'm sure God will allow us to do it ourselves. But maybe he wants us to plan something so stupendous and awe-inspiring that it gives him a unique role to play. The Bible is full of stories of how God worked through individuals to accomplish great things. What if we inserted into our plans something that only God could do? That means, of course, that by definition our plans will be unrealistic. Would a staff be bold enough to recommend such a plan? Would a board be daring enough to approve such a plan? Just wondering. Are we too cautious, too realistic, too self-reliant? I admit that as I read these paragraphs, they scare me, but I think they are also a healthy challenge to think about with the board and staff. If we try to increase the faith component of our plans, we face the question of whether we should act first and depend on God to provide subsequently, or let God act first and be ready to do what he has provided for. In Acts 1, Jesus tells his followers not to do anything yet, but wait in Jerusalem until the Father sends his promised gift. In Exodus 14, God told Moses to take the people of Israel to a specific place where they could be easily cornered by the Egyptians. He basically told Moses to deliberately lead them into a trap. Moses obeyed God, and only then did the Lord part the waters and provide a way of escape. I think there are some different approaches to the topic, and each of them has a biblical basis. I believe that which one we use will depend on how the board and staff together discern God's will in a specific matter. So you can pray and act with human wisdom. It might seem strange to start with human wisdom, but Scripture takes it seriously, and so should we. The book of Proverbs consists of the best of worldly wisdom in that it sets out the way things are, or the way things work. God has given us great intellectual power to work out for ourselves some of the mystery behind God's work, such as the hard and soft sciences. Jesus commanded the use of human wisdom in Luke 16, verse 8. French Arrington discusses the surprising position Jesus takes on human wisdom in his New Life Bible commentary on Luke, saying, "The sinful people of this world are favorably compared with the people of the light. It is their resourcefulness and their dedication to the achievement of their intended goals that are held up as examples for emulation. The implication is that the people of the light, whose goal is infinitely more valuable, should be all the more resourceful and dedicated as they work toward their goal of a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted." Furthermore, Jesus advises in Luke 14:28 and 31, Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? It seems that Jesus believes that thinking ahead is just good common sense. His point is, don't become a disciple if you are not willing to go the whole way. Finally, Paul advises Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 to drink a little wine because of his stomach and many illnesses. I'm sure Paul had already done the spiritual thing and prayed for his healing, but he also gave Timothy the best human wisdom he had to help him with his stomach problems. My position is that unless he has otherwise directed us, God expects us to use the best of human wisdom in leading our ministries. Use your noggin. Another strategy is pray and wait for God to act. We can also think big, figure out what is humanly possible, pray for God to do the rest, and then act when he has made it possible. There is scriptural support for this option. Jesus' instruction to wait for the gift of the Spirit is one example. Paul raising the collection for the Jerusalem relief effort is another. Paul committed to no specific amount, just that he would bring an offering. The prayers of the saints for Peter in prison are yet another example. They did not mount an attack on the prison to free him, but were waiting in prayer, and God acted and miraculously freed Peter. This is also an approach recommended by Jesus. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That's Matthew 7, verses 7 and 11. What Jesus is telling us is, ask, receive, proceed. But another strategy is pray, and then act in anticipation of God's action. This is the basis behind faith missions. Sometimes we have to act first, and then we will see God do something wonderful. Joshua had to march around Jericho 7 times before he saw God bring down its walls. The disciples handed out the fish and bread, not knowing what was going to happen, but God provided. Jesus had to go to the cross, trusting that his Father would resurrect him. Virtually all Christian ministries operate to some degree on faith because their revenue comes mostly from donations, and who knows what will come in next month. They make long-term commitments by hiring staff and acquiring property and trust that money will continue to come in. But while some are very good at active fundraising, writing persuasive appeals and so forth, others will only do passive fundraising. This group will pray but not tell anyone of their financial needs. Hudson Taylor ran CIM this way, on the assumption that the Lord will provide. God has blessed this approach too. Any of the three strategies may be the appropriate one for you. My comfort level is to operate the very best we can with the best knowledge we have, which is option one, and to think big and wait for God to provide, option two. Which should you follow? It all depends. I think it comes down to group discernment. I believe that God will lead the entire leadership team to one of these three options. The board, the chief staff officer, and the senior leadership team should all be in agreement about their position on faith and risk. If one person feels the ministry should take on more risk with higher faith, then the whole group should enter into a discernment process to determine if they also feel the same. This is what Paul did with his group. He alone heard the call of God to go to Europe, but the whole team decided it was the right thing to do. When Paul felt he had the answer to how to evangelize the Gentiles, James and the apostles in Jerusalem discussed the issue and came to a collective decision. If someone gave your ministry $1 million, how would you use it? If you don't know, then maybe you aren't ready to receive $1 million. If God said he would do anything you asked him to do to help with your ministry's mission, what would you ask him to do? If you don't know, then maybe you aren't ready to receive his miraculous help. At the very least, have a list. Think big, pray hard, and follow the option that seems best to the team. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's what we read in Acts 15:28, and it needs to be what you say when you announce your decisions. God bless.